Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
New champions are out there. Oh, I'm going to be the champion.
Oh, I'm going to be the champion. Champion this.
Time in and time out, we put in the work.
It's hard work.
But someone's got to do it. Where the love go? Put you
front row. We're the Warriors. Never give up.
Not the EST.
We'll see about that. Where the love go?
Can't let them have all the fun.
Our hustle puts us on another level.
More like the Tribal Chiefs level.
Nah, man. This kind of level.
I don't bluff, bro. And now it's time to prove we're even stronger.
Andrew from Cultaholic Wrestling here, welcoming you to this exclusive interview. Today, I'm joined by some of the creative minds behind the WWE 2K franchise to chat about the recently released WWE 2K23 video game. Thanks for joining me, guys.
It's nice to meet you. I'm Lionel Jenks. I'm the creative director.
Hey, I'm Alan Flores. I am the design director here.
Hi, I'm Dino Zucconi. I'm the lead designer for the showcase mode.
And I'm Derek Donahue. I'm the lead designer for gameplay.
Straight off the bat, congratulations to you all and the team on the launch of 2K23. Like, there's unanimous praise from both critics and fans alike. How does that feel in comparison to perhaps, say, 3-4 years ago, when I assume the future of the franchise might have been a little bit up in the air following 2K20? How is everybody feeling right now?
I would hate to speak for everyone, but it seems like unanimously, everyone is extremely excited with the response that we've gotten so far. And, you know, it's a complete contrast from, you know, what we experienced on 2K20 to now. But I will say, in order for us to pull off what we did, 2K20 had to happen, right? We had to fall flat on our face. We needed that reality check. We thought we knew what we were doing. We thought we understood the engine that, you know, that we created, and we didn't. And we, you know, not only did we let, you know, you guys down, but we let ourselves down as developers as well. And luckily, you know, we bounced back with 2K22, and with 2K23, you know, we had to prove ourselves once again to not only, you know, maintain everything that we shipped in WWE 2K22 and hold that level of polish, but to make it, you know, even stronger by, you know, adding more features, adding more games, tightening things up, you know, just the rivalry system universe, like everything that we touched on for 2K23 was hard to not only just manage, but get it done in a yearly cycle again.
So I guess following on from the fan reaction that 2K23 has received, it's hard not to notice the absolutely incredibly dedicated community when it comes to fan-made creations and uploads. So I was wondering, what's the internal reaction like within the studio when you see fans have managed to create some incredible-looking either creator wrestlers or set pieces, arenas and everything? And do those ever sort of influence or spark internal conversations into what you guys might add into the following years entry in the franchise?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of the things that we end up adding or improving on are, you know, are things like, you know, if like we notice that someone's making, you know, certain characters from a different IP, you're like, oh, they almost got there, but it doesn't look quite right because they're missing this one component. You're like, could we add something that's similar that will help them get a better looking version out, right? And so it's those things that, you know, we constantly look at what they're creating, and we post it in our internal channels and like, look at these awesome creations that people are doing with the game, and then bringing it into their own universe. I even brought, like last year, I was like, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I brought a ton of like Star Wars characters into my universe mode and was playing at home. So like, I love it. You know, like to me, it's awesome to see, not only because it gives the game longevity, but just the creativity that the fans, you know, have, and just knowing that the tool base that we give them and what they're able to do with it is just amazing.
Mm. I mean, it's like, it feels like the only place where you could see Shrek and Deadpool face off at Hell in a Cell or something like that. And you can't go wrong with that either. It's so perfect. It's so perfect. So sort of speaking briefly off the mention of 2K20 earlier, 2K22 was obviously like just a solid return to form for the franchise, and 2K23 feels like it builds off that, just that solid foundation what you had there, but pushes things obviously further to create a title that is, it's just more polished, it's tighter, full of quality of life changes too. Is this sort of the approach that you see continuing in the future, rather than sort of drastically changing the gameplay formula year to year?
It's hard to really tell like what we're going to, you know, put in next year's game. I mean, a lot of it comes with the confidence, right? And the trust that we develop as a team, where like, you know, Derek can speak to War Games, but like, you know, when we made the decision to try to move forward with War Games, a lot of that was based off of what we did with the Backstage Brawl in WWE 2K22. And I'll let Derek, you know, dig deeper into that.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be really forward-looking anytime we want to do something that's really drastic. And I don't think there's anything that's more drastic than War Games when it comes to just completely upending all of the assumptions the game had always been built on for the decades of this franchise has had. Having two rings just kind of upended everything, right? Almost every single interaction in the game is built on that assumption that there's a ring in the center of the world at, you know, 00 origin. And so, yeah, in 2K22, building up that backstage, making sure that we could have ledges and interactions at different points, it kind of set ourselves up for 23, where we could hit the ground running and you know, put that second ring in there, get a playable prototype early, and then realize how much more work we had ahead of us still to get the rest of the match type in. I mean, pretty much anything that happens in that match type required us to completely think outside the box for how we could possibly make it work.
Yeah. Well, I guess that is sort of leading on to my next question, because obviously we see War Games in this game, which is phenomenal. It's an incredible mode. And I was wondering, and I guess you've sort of answered that though, however, with sort of Triple H introducing the match type back in 2017, I was wondering why maybe why 2K23 was the best time to introduce that. Was that because you were already sort of trying out these things prior to 2K23, but it just couldn't work out, and did everything just seem to sort of fall into your laps a little bit with it being introduced in 2K23?
Sort of, yeah. It's a match type we've had our eyes on for a long time. I mean, Dino's somebody who's been looking at War Games, something he's wanted for since before it was reintroduced in WWE and NXT. But NXT definitely kind of strengthened that idea that we really, really would love to have War Games in the game. I would say 2K23 is the first year we could ever have done it. It really required us, you know, from 2K20 kind of gaining controls of our systems, sort of, and then 22 finally really being able to lay that foundation, and then even kind of pre-working on it in a sense in 22. We had our eye on that, knowing there was no way we could get it into 22. And 23, we'd have to be really, really aggressive. So, I mean, it was so important to us. We wanted to get it in the earliest iteration of the game we possibly could. And I kind of can't believe that we were able to pull it off in 23, to be honest.
Well, you did an amazing job. You really genuinely did such a good job with it as
Thank
well.
Thank you.
I'm wondering then as well, what are some of, if you can say, sure. If you're not looking to add these things into next year and you've got to keep things hush hush, are there any sort of new features that you would like to explore maybe in the future that you couldn't perhaps put in 2K23 at all?
I mean, there are so many things that are on the table that we look at and just have to weigh year to year. And then it's not just brand new things. It's also things within existing match types and kind of tweaks and iterations. We really value getting a version of the match type out there that is as complete as we possibly can have and has all the things fans would expect, but then really paying close attention to fan feedback and how people play the game. Both offline with their friends locally or online against, you know, random opponents. All of those things kind of factor into what can really help strengthen it year to year. And so I'd say that's how we look at our match types.
That's real. I'm hoping next time we need the bins. We need the bin spot in War Games. I do believe that you actually spoke about this prior in another interview. I think it was about maybe ladders and bins were a little bit touch and go when it came to the match type, like introducing them in. We need the bin spots. We need the EOS Sky bin spots, everybody.
One of my favorite war game spots of all times. I hear
it's so good. It's so good.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Feel a little bit cheeky about asking this, right? Because you've already put so much into 2K23. It's phenomenal how much you've put into the game itself. But unfortunately, us wrestling fans are very greedy. We are greedy, greedy people. I was wondering if there are any plans to update the game throughout content patches, sort of outside what's perhaps already announced and planned in the DLC drops, just like throughout the year to keep up with what's currently happening on TV. Whether that's through like cosmetics or entrances. We recently saw you were so on it with the Sami Zayn being ousted from the Bloodline and then getting his new merch and everything. And you were really quick to implement that into the game before its release. Will we see things like that throughout the year?
It's really tricky. You know, we have a bunch of eager and equally greedy people on our dev team that want to make the most updated game as possible. For us, you know, we have to like look at like, all right, we have to start, you know, not sunsetting, but like making sure that we have, you know, to shift our focus onto WWE 2K24, right? Like it's time that we spend on, you know, updating content, not just, you know, patching or anything like that, like things that we want to make sure that the game is stable before we truly can focus on WWE 2K24. It's a tough decision, right? And I know fans, you know, keep wanting us to keep updating the game, but I will say one of the best things that we have going for us, and you touched on this earlier, is community creation, right? Like the level of detail that these people are putting in on day one over the weekend, like just updating attires and looks of the WWE superstars, and also adding people that aren't on our roster and also updating their entrances now that Create an Entrance Advance is back, right? Like it's damn near one-to-one what you see on broadcast. Like that gives us, you know, hope, you know, that we can like walk away when we do and be like, okay, in good hands, now let's focus on WWE 2K24 and try to make sure that game is even stronger.
That's a fantastic way of putting it. Speaking of keeping up with the TV product, I was also wondering, perhaps, were things affected in the development process at all with, obviously, Vince McMahon steps down from the company? Things are quite rapidly changing between 2020 and 2022 with talent releases and such as well, which must have been difficult for you guys to keep up with too, when you're like knee deep in development and then all of a sudden things are changing. You've got the pandemic, you've got the Thunderdome, all of this new stuff sort of coming into play. And if there has been any difference, has there been a difference perhaps with Triple H taking more control within WWE in line with what's happening with the development at the same time too?
Luckily, like when, by the time we lock our roster, you know, we make a lot of those decisions early on in order for us to like get the game out in, you know, less than a year of production. And so, you know, we make a lot of those decisions early on, and a couple of things might change through our production where we will have to pivot, or a new additions, you know, comes onto the roster, and we got to look at like, do we have capacity to support this in order to make our submission dates into, you know, Microsoft and Sony, and like make sure it doesn't jeopardize us, you know, not shipping the game on time. So it's a lot of back and forth with the WWE, and a lot of it is based on timing. I will say though that the difference between 22 and 23 was, we had the opposite problem in 22 we had to cut, right? And we had 2.5 years of development, so the roster was changing, it just seemed like every week, which created a ton of problems for us, especially with, you know, modes like My Rise or Dino and Showcase, like trying to lock that down, and then, you know, trying to figure out like, can this person still be in the game even though they're not part of the WWE? And luckily, I think the WWE did a pretty good job of allowing us to keep certain people that were involved in like heavy storylines in some of our modes. But this year was the opposite. Like a lot of people came back, which was a great thing, right? And so for me, I think I'd rather have that problem than the opposite, you know, and we got to try to do our best to make sure that, you know, we fit those, you know, those new additions in within the time that we have.
And I guess to stick with the roster for a moment as well, everybody already knows there's so many avid video game fans within the WWE roster. And I was wondering if they ever have sort of any significant input into what goes into the development process, and does the passion that they have, I mean, it's insane with, obviously, you know, you've got Xavier Woods, you've got Shayna Baszler, and does their passion ever make for you informing what you're going to do with maybe tweaks and stuff to make the best experience for fans?
I would say the biggest impact that most people have, and I'll let Dino answer this, is with our showcase mode, right? It's curating the matches and telling that story and giving the voice to the story that they want to tell, right? And so Dino has worked with, you know, not only John Cena, but Rey Mysterio, the Four Horsewomen, even Roman Reigns when he was doing the Towers in 2K20, so he can speak on that.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, our approach in Showcase, at least, is I like to write a bit of a light script, but I don't want the wrestlers saying what I'm saying, you know what I mean? I want their stories, and I'm a lifelong fan. I can write the history out. I can make a nice story for it. That's great. But I like it better when John Cena's telling us like what he was thinking. Same with Ray last year. I know that sometimes that kayfabe approach can seem a little, I don't want to say silly, but I know some fans kind of like think it's a little weird when they're treating it that way. But in the framework of our game, you are trying to win. So, you know, we have to keep it that way. It's not friends hanging out backstage and planning out their matches. So we try to keep it that way, kind of guide them in that line of like, remember what you were doing as this match is approaching, you know, what you were thinking of. And it's cool if we can get that, that real life, you know, was there anything going on with you at that time that was maybe taking your attention away from preparing for this match? Any kind of real life stuff that we can throw in there is always welcome for the showcase mode. And I think that, especially this year, John was fantastic giving us a lot of that information that you hope that the leading questions will get you where you want to go. But sometimes, you know, you ask a question, you want a yes answer and you get the no. And it's just kind of like, okay, well, we'll figure something else out from there. But John was incredible at just giving us exactly what we wanted.
Finally, I want to ask, are there any favorite superstars of yours, past or present, that you would like to see make it into a 2K game that perhaps hasn't done so far? I'm going off the cuff here, right? I'm going all open. You can have anybody. You can have a superstar, or you could have some pop culture phenomenon person, whoever you would like to be in your game, since we can now have Shrek and Deadpool in the same ring at the same time. So I'm gonna open up the floor. Who would you like to see in a WWE 2K game?
Go ahead, Dino. You always have the best answers for this.
I got a boatload of legends. Ahmed Johnson would probably be my first one. I'd love to get him in the game. I'd like to go back a bit, get like Nick Bockwinkel up in here. I like those old time guys. It makes my mode a little bit easier to make if I can get some in here. But yeah, Ahmed Johnson would be my big one. I loved that dude back in the 90s.
I don't know, probably some Street Fighter characters, you know, maybe some Guile or some Zangief or something like that. I think that would be awesome. I think those guys know how to wrestle. They know how to do some finishers and stuff. I think it would be great to have them in the game.
I've been watching a lot of older matches lately. I'm going to say Mako Satomura. Some matches from decades ago are some of the best that I've ever seen. And, you know, she's in NXT now. I think I would love to see that happen.
That'd be amazing. I want to see Zangief and King now that you said Zangief. Let's see how it goes.
That would be awesome.
If you haven't already, please do go and check out 2K23. It's out now. You've got it on the PlayStation 4 and 5, your PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S as well.
Go play the game, have fun, right? Like, I can't wait to hear what people think of everything that we improved on. We had a blast making it, and you know, I hope people have the same enjoyment playing it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.